Good morning, it's 7-Eleven, and this is Bob Barney, and I have a continuing problem with pollen this year, so I'm a little stuffy. You may hear me sniffle, and it's thundering and lightning and raining outside, and I don't know if my sauna that I do my recording in is going to keep it out, but if not, just bear with it. Today I'm going to have another Ask Bob session with some more questions that came in. To be honest and frank, I don't remember if I answered some of these before. I don't know if these are new ones or not. I just kept them as they come in on a string in my notes section of my iPhone. The first one that I thought I'd get into today, it's kind of an important subject in my opinion. If you have some money and you're trying to figure out how to invest your money. And the question is, you talk about gold and silver. What do you think the future of these metals will bring? Well, one just has to look in the last year to see what the future of gold and silver is going to be. And it's going to continue to rise. And I want to get into gold and silver ownership, as well as what is probably a better buy than just raw gold or silver. You can buy silver coins, bars, I should say, gold bars, at about the price of gold, with maybe anywhere from a $199 for silver to about a $79.99 for gold over the spot price. So, for example, if gold is $2,200, you can buy it probably for $22, let's say $75. If silver is $30, you can buy it for usually a $31.49 or $31.29 or something like that. So just to give you an idea, if you were to have bought in gold in 2021 when Joe Biden took office, I believe the price of gold, and somebody could look this up and prove me wrong, but it was, I think, in the $1,700 price range. Gold goes up and down constantly. Gold is not a short-term investment for sure, but it is and silver. It is an investment for the long term against inflation. That's all it's really. It's a hedge for inflation. And I think silver was around $18 to $20 an ounce, and gold was about $1,700, $1,600 an ounce when Joe Biden took office. And inflation became rampant for the last 3 years, as we all know. So what's gold? Right now, silver, just for example, the other day, silver was $32 an ounce. So if you think a minute, let's say it was 17. I believe that's the case. Silver has almost doubled in value in just 3 years. Doubled. That's pretty good. And the chance of silver falling much below 25 is nil. So if you bought silver at $17, $18, you're doing really well. Same thing with gold. Gold is about $2,300, almost $2,400. It reached $2,414, I believe, last week, which means it's going to hit that high again. But say it's around $2,350, $2,370 right now. If you bought it at $1,700, you've made about a 40% return on your money in just 3 years' time. And that's not a bad investment. And it's an investment that you have in your hands. You don't have it in a bank somewhere. You don't have it on a stock somewhere. You don't have it where someone can take it away from you if things fall apart. If you're going to buy gold or silver, don't store it somewhere. You may want to store it in a safety deposit box at your bank if you have a lot of it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend storing it in your home unless you have very good safe systems. And I mean not a portable safe or electronic safe. All electronic safes really do is keep the honest people out. All you have to do with any fingerprint safe, for example, or touch button safe, is pick it up about 4 feet, drop it on concrete, and the thing will pop open. That's the truth. So if you have a combination safe, you're pretty fine off if it's heavy enough that people can't carry it away. But if you have a safe that is digital, in any way, fingerprint or punching numbers, like I said, it just keeps honest people out. But the best thing to do is either have a safe buried in your floor or something like that that cannot come out, with a combination that is a very good combination safe that cannot be cracked easily, and people are going to basically not be able to get it. Or a smart thing to do. Like my bank offers safety deposit boxes, which you can get to even in a crash. You can keep your gold and silver and stuff like that in a safety deposit box. And there's other places you can keep gold and silver that would not be readily found by people trying to attack you. And the last place you really want to keep a lot of gold or silver is in your house, because that's the, you know, places that people are going to come after you with if somebody's going to try to rob you. And unfortunately, if you're like that poor Arkansas airport director who got shot dead by the ATF break into his house because he was a coin collector and a gun collector, the chances are people breaking into your house, you know, you're never going to know who's, if it's the government or a crook, because the government never announces themselves. Now, I want to go into something that's even more valuable in the metals than gold or silver, raw gold or silver purchases. And it's very important that coins, silver and gold coins, or coins of anything, copper pennies, for example, there are copper pennies worth $15,000, $18,000. There are gold coins worth $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 an ounce gold coin. See, coins have a rarity value. The price of gold, a gold bar that you buy that's an ounce or 10 ounces or 5 ounces, whatever denomination, you get 100-ounce silver bars, they are only a commodity price, and they're only going to go up by the spot price of silver or gold. But if you buy, for an example, a 19, which you're not going to find, a 1933 gold double eagle, that's the last year the United States government made them, and almost every single one of them that I know of were melted back down with FDR's executive order outlawing anyone from owning gold. Did you know that? I think I said this before, but the FDR administration did an executive order that outlawed Americans from owning more than $100 worth of gold. And so a lot of gold coins went overseas to Europe to escape that executive order. But almost every gold coin made in 1932 and 1933, especially those of 1933, were melted back down into gold bars sent to Fort Knox. And what I want to say about that is if you had a pristine, almost brand new looking 1933 gold double eagle, I believe it's worth about $800,000 in that range. No, I'm sorry, that's the 1849. It would be, which is none in existence except the Smithsonian Institute, I think it'd be about $350,000. But, you know, even bills, you know, if you, $100 bill, any $100 bill before 1990, Benjamin Franklin is wearing a fur collared coat. The modern Ben Franklin $100 bills wears a suit type coat, but the fur type Ben Franklin before 1990, some of those bills, like in 1988, 1989, $100 bills were $300. Think about that. Look at your money. One of the things I say you should do is always look at your change. Get an app for your phone, and it's called Coin App or something like that. You just look up any kind of coin identifier, and it'll give you instantly what the value of that coin is by taking a picture of it with your iPhone or your Android phone, and you can see what coin is maybe worth the money. You'll be surprised how many. I do a lot of auctions. A 2017A $2 bill, a package of 200, and that's all the serial numbers in a row. When you get a package from the bank of $2 bills, it's a $200 package. It's 100 $2 bills. And 2017 is the last year that I know they made them. But anyway, they're worth money. I was on an auction last week, and each package of 100 $2 bills, which were worth $200 face value, sold for $1,000 each. Think about that. But they were, what made them so valuable was 100 in numerical sequence. Every serial number was one apart all the way through. So that doubles the value right there. But even if you had 100 $2 bills from 2017A series, just 100 $2 bills and not matching serial numbers, they would be worth $300 to $400. If you had star note, matching serial number star notes, I've seen them go for $1,500. What's a star note? A star note is they published a series of $2 bills, and then they looked, there was mistakes in every one of them, and they had to destroy them. But since the serial number was used, they have to reprint the same serial numbers again on special edition $2 bills or $1 bills or $50 bills, or called star notes. And they then become very rare because the printing press for the government very seldom makes mistakes that they have to make star notes. So star notes and numerical serial number sequence are very, very valuable. So, and that's something that's only 7 years old or 6 years old. So just because something's quite recent doesn't mean it's not valuable. When it comes to currency and coins, condition rarity and the condition of the coin makes a big difference. And so you can buy an ounce gold coin, like a 1986 gold coin. It's probably going to be worth $500-$600 more than the price of an ounce of gold. If you buy some of these double eagles from the 1870s, 1850s, 1890s, 1900s, before they did away with them, they're all worth $2,500 to $3,500, and are going to continue to go up because they're not making them anymore. They're still making gold bars. So gold bars will only be the value of gold that day. But these coins have an intrinsic value because they are not making them anymore. And the more they become rare, the more they go up in price. So anyway, I do think it's a good investment to buy gold and silver raw, just bars. But it's also good to look into coins. And you go to eBay. My wife and I run a small site on eBay called Serendipity by Tammy, and we sell jewelry, we sell gold coins and stuff like that that we get at auctions. But you look at eBay and stuff like that, and you can find some pretty good deals on coins that will always go up in value. And if you get that coin app for your iPhone and Android phone, you will know what each coin you get is really worth. Second question, I think this is a very good question, and I know this was not answered before. The gold one might have answered before. But what is your biggest fear if Biden loses and Trump wins? Do you have any? And the answer is absolutely. I have one big fear if Biden loses this election. Actually, I would say it's twofold. Number one, Congress, the Senate, refuses to seat Donald Trump, and we have a constitutional crisis that puts the United States in a very weak position, which our enemies overseas will take into account and maybe attack us many different ways. That's number one. Number two, let's say Donald Trump is going to be seated as president and it looks like the Senate's going to allow it to go through. Then you have a problem with Iran and you have a problem with Taiwan. And the problem with China and Taiwan and Iran and Israel is once Donald Trump becomes president, they know their antics. They're not going to get away with their antics that they've gotten away with Joe Biden. So that time between November 4th or 5th, whenever the election is this year, and January 20th about, when the president Trump would take office, you have about 3 months of pure terror if China says this is the time to take Taiwan when we have such a weak Joe Biden presidency that will do nothing about it. And it will be gone in China's hands within days, long before Trump becomes president. And then there is nothing President Trump can do. And of course, the other thing is Iran decides to attack Israel with an A-bomb. They may have an A-bomb. We don't know for sure. And deciding, again, a weak, spineless Joe Biden administration will do nothing, especially in their lame duck months before Donald Trump would take over. And it would be almost like what that October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas would be like. It would be unanswered, basically, by the world. And the anti-Semitism going around, no one's going to do anything to help Israel, and including Israel's own brother, the United States and the United Kingdom, Denmark and Western Europe, which are lost Israel, which are the brothers of the Jews. So that is my two biggest fears. If Biden loses and Trump wins, what will happen in those few months before Trump takes office? And a second part of that question, which is actually a separate question, but it has a lot to do with the same subject, is
What do you think is our greatest threat we face this year and next? The greatest threat, I just said, would be a Taiwan-Iran war. But there's another one, another threat that we can never overlook. And this can be done by countries against us, or it can be done by God's nature in the sun. And that is an EMP, which knocks out all computer electronics in America. It could be done by the sun, by a huge solar flare like we haven't seen since 1859, which would basically destroy the American economy, the American electrical grid. Every single car in America that's made past 1975 will not run. Most of the tractors will not run. None of the trucks on the highway will run. None of the freight trains will run that are on the rails. And Americans will start starving within 3 to 4 days. And within a month, there would probably be 10, 20 million Americans dead because of it. That is the real threat, not global warming, which is just a fairy tale. So I would say an EMP next to Taiwan and Iran wars are a great threat that could happen anytime in the next few years of our life, and it could happen even this year. Unlike Jesus can't return overnight like people think he can, he could be here tomorrow and you could be whisked away to heaven in a rapture, which is not the case. There's no such thing as a rapture. But anyway, Jesus gave signs for his coming, and those signs are not all fulfilled. But an EMP can happen in a very little time and very little warning from scientists who study the sun. So yes, what is a great threat is an EMP, and that could happen any time. It's more serious than anyone ever takes into account, and unfortunately, too many Americans just are asleep at the wheel. Another question, do you think there will be a deep state plan to halt the election? Well, this is something you hear about all the time. You hear conspiracy theorists talk about it all the time. You even hear mainstream people like Tucker Carlson and others talk about, would, if riots started to occur near November, could the deep state Joe Biden administration declare martial law and stop the elections? It's a possibility, but I doubt it could ever be pulled off. But after this Donald Trump trial, I don't know how you could ever make any prediction today that has any rationality to the prediction, because what is going on in this country under the Biden administration and Justice Department is pure totalitarianism. And so I'm not sure, to be honest, what you can expect from a bunch of communists that are running the Joe Biden administration. It ain't Joe Biden. We know that. I mean, he don't know if he's coming and going. He don't even know his name, I think, half the time. And he probably has to wear diapers. No, not probably. I know he wears diapers. So I don't believe there will be a plan to stop the election. I believe the plan that the deep staters have is one of two things. Out and out, assassinate Donald Trump. You know, they did Kennedys, both Kennedys. They did other assassinations in the past to get rid of the people they didn't want. They could also use the Senate, because the Democrats still control the Senate no matter what happens in the election. And the Senate could refuse to seat Donald Trump as president. They have the final say over the Electoral College. And so there are plans, I think, that the deep state have that are very troublesome to me, because it could, and I said could, end up Donald Trump, even winning in a landslide, would end up not being president because of the meddling of the deep state. And I think the result in that could be civil war, riots, civil war, people being gunned down, congressmen being pulled out of their offices and strung up and hung or shot or beat to death. Because I think there's a lot of Americans that are disgusted with the direction of this country and the totalitarianism that is going on in this country and the runaway Gestapo-like FBI and military police type state we're in, that I'm not sure what a lot of these, what we want to call Bubbas with rifles are going to do if their president wins with a landslide election, and then the deep state refuses to seat him as president. The other thing I think they're hoping for is maybe because the Republicans are so stupid in the House that they may be able to win the House, even a slight majority, maybe a 10-seat majority, and there would be enough Rhino Republicans still left in the House that they would just keep impeaching Trump every single month until the Senate, with enough Rhino senators in the Senate, would finally go along and remove Donald Trump as a way to get rid of him. So, anything. The last question I might have answered the last time, but it's still worth the repeat because, you know, more people are listening today than there was listening 4 months ago, I think, when I did this last. If you could ask God something that bothers you about life, what would it be? And that's a very good subject because what it would be to me is the one question I would ask God. I know the answer, by the way. I know the answer. I've written this thing about, oh, God, where were you when, you know, our son died or our daughter died or my father died or some tragedy happened? Where were you when Columbine happened? Where were you when the mass shooting in the Texas University in 1963, 64 happened? Where was God when all of these tragedies happened? And the simple answer is God is not in control of this world because he's allowed man to go their own way. Man wanted, since Adam and Eve wanted to be their own free spirit, they wanted their own governments, they wanted their own religion. Like I said, it's too bad that man wants to put God's name in their religion because it's man's religion. It's not the religion God has in the Bible. Most churches today do not practice what's in the Bible. Most churches reject what's in the Bible. Very few real, even the ones who claim they're fundamentalist Bible churches, for example, if they're meeting on Sunday, they're not following the Bible. It's that simple. Now, are there Christians inside these churches that are honest Christians following Sunday and Christmas and Easter? Absolutely. I'm not going to disparage anyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ as their God and their Savior, and they're in a church that follows Christmas and Easter and Sunday. But if those people are committed to Christ, and it is told to them by an angel or something that they believe is coming from God, they have to follow a different way, and they follow that way of the Bible, and they will do so. There are many good Christians in the Catholic Church. There are many good Christians in every denomination Christian church there are, but the churches themselves are not following the Bible, and that's that simple. But the the question, would I ask God something? And that would be this. And I know why tragedy happens. I know the answer. It's man's world. We made our world, and we don't want God to be a part of it, and God left us alone, and Satan has been left in charge. As Apostle Paul writes, Satan is the god of this world. You can read that in your Bible. It's not God. Jesus qualified the first time around, some 2,000 years ago, to replace Satan, and he's coming back to this earth to save us from ourselves and to replace Satan. But right now, God has basically got a hands-off approach to this world, and tragedy happens because man is in charge of his own fate, and man's actions cause the tragedy most of the time that happens, number one. But that still is not what I would ask God if I had a chance to ask God why. And something I don't understand or that I don't like. And God does not want us to be vegetables. I want to say this right off the bat because I'm going to have people out there be mad at me by saying, you don't have a right to question God. Look what happened to Job. Well, Job did question God, and Job was found righteous by God, and Job was forgiven by God, and Job got everything back that he lost by questioning God. So God is not trying to turn us into vegetables. We are not made in the vegetable or tomato or the fruit image. We're made in the image of God, and we have a right to question God in prayer, but we have to accept his divine judgment. But we have a right to question him. No one argued with God more than Moses or even Abraham in places where he tried to, what's the right word? I had another word, but I might get in trouble. But he tried to get God down about how many people in Sodom would he save the city if they found that many righteous people. And so it's okay to bargain with God. It's okay to ask God questions. And the question that I would ask is, why does God allow tragedy to innocent children? I mean, adults like you and me listening to this show, I'm 69. I don't want to have tragedy happen to me, and I don't want to have a suffering thing, and I don't want to be arrested by the deep state and thrown into prison and rot like so many people on January 6th are doing and go through the hell, and I don't know if I could actually take it, you know. But at the same time, I know my life is completed. But some child who's 2, 3, 4 years old that has cancer, leukemia, some disease, born deformed. Now, maybe it's some person's fault. Maybe it's medicine's fault or pharmaceuticals' fault that caused it in the first place. Maybe it's not. We don't know every tragedy in children. But it breaks my heart to see children. When I watch these commercials, and I know they put these children on the commercials to make people's heart break. You know, when you watch the Shriners Hospital commercial or the Danny Thomas St. Jude's commercial. But when you see these kids being wheeled down in a wheelbarrow or whatever, it's a cart, and they have cancer, and they're looking at you with such despair because their life has been filled with tragedy, it breaks my heart. When you see a young mother who is maybe only 24, 25 years old, they're still a child themselves, and what happens? They either have a child in marriage or out of marriage, but they have a child that they decide not to abort. Thank God for them for that. And the child is then born with some horrible disability, maybe cancer, maybe Down syndrome, maybe something that causes them to have a griefful life for a long time. They have to, their whole life is going to change. They're not even grown up. They're 20, 24, 25, 30 years old, young women in the prime of their life, and now their life with the birth of their child is changed forever from one of joy and wonderment and just blessings to one of hardships, one of just terrible, terrible futures. And especially if the child dies and they have to nurse that child for months, sometimes years, just to watch the child die because nothing that modern medicine has been able to do changes it. And we know if Christ was still walking on this earth, Christ could go to that child, touch it, and that child would live. And it just breaks my heart. And I'll tell you that right now. And although I know the reason why, I would still ask God, why do you allow it? I'm angry over it. But God's got a plan, and I do accept this plan. But God does hear this from me in prayer more often than not. Whenever I read a story like this, I pray for that child, or I see that child, and I pray for that child to God. But I always ask God, why can you not step in? And that is the answer to that question. Yes, I have struggles with God to this day, and hopefully you do too. That means you're talking to God, because if you're talking to God, you're going to be struggling with God, because you're not always going to understand God's mind, except you have to believe one thing. His mind's superior to yours, and there's a reason why God allows things to go on that we just do not understand, and we have to accept it. So that's about it for Ask Bob today on the Plain Truth Today broadcast, and I appreciate the questions that people sent to me. Tomorrow, by the way, is Pentecost, and we're going to do a special show. What is Pentecost? It may not be the full 30 minutes again. It is a high day. It is a day where you'd follow, and believe it or not, unlike Passover and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, it's actually a festival that the New Testament church, the Christian churches, follow along with the Jews, and it's kind of amazing. It's the only Old Testament festival that the New Testament church did adopt, and that's because Acts makes a big thing about the Day of Pentecost, and so the pagan churches out there figure they need to have a Pentecost. Unfortunately, they have it on the wrong day of the year and on the wrong date, and they do everything wrong about it, but that's another story. We'll get into that tomorrow. So I do appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to the show, going to theplaintruth.com every day, to our message board, to Your Health Today, and to these broadcasts. And I'm humbled. So thank you for listening. And we'll see you again, 7-11 tomorrow morning. This is Bob Barney saying thank you for listening very much. And have a good day. Goodbye.